At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Merry Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, and today I have Robert joining me all the way from Spain. So it is 5:30 in the morning here in the United States as we're recording this. And Robert, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Liz. I'm very excited to be in your show.
Yes. So why don't we talk about, real quick, today's episode is going to be on email marketing. And you hear it all the time, build an email list. If you have a business, you need an email list. And I have Robert on here to talk about a little bit more of the background and the nitty gritty of it. But I want to just share, you know, so last week, we're recording this on March 12th, 2024. I'm not quite sure when this episode's going to come out. But last week, Facebook and Instagram went down. And, you know, as a small business owner, that can be really scary, especially if that's your main way that you communicate with your customers. Because again, we talk about it all the time, your business is not making a product or growing a product. My business isn't growing flowers, my business is selling flowers. And as much as the social media part or the email part or the website part isn't necessarily why I got into this business, if I don't do that part, I don't have a business, I have a hobby. And so being able to get that product out, if it's a direct to consumer product, I need a direct line of communication to the consumer. And so last week when Facebook and Instagram were down for like 4 hours, I was planning on sending an email newsletter out anyway. I had that planned, you know, for a second, you know, everyone thought we got hacked. We all were like trying to reset our passwords and worried that we got hacked, because that definitely would be incredibly inconvenient. It still would suck if that happened, but I know that I have this list of 2,800 people that have actually signed up for my email newsletter. And I have almost a 60% open rate over the last 4 years. So it's not just people that signed up, it's people that actually open my newsletter. And so I sent that email out and I had two things in that email. And I talked about my spring subscriptions and I talked about starting to take reservations for my On the Farm events. And I'm only taking one per week. And the people that signed up for it, one was a nurse that's getting a bunch of her coworkers together. And another one is, she works at a local college and their whole department is coming out. And then there were a couple more. And so between those private events and those subscriptions, I sold like 140 bouquets at $30 a piece just by sending out one email. And that's how I get a hold of my customers. And so I have trained them to open those emails. And so it's just so important to build that list. And it takes time. Trust me, I don't get $5,000 every time I send an email. I wish that was the normal, you know, how it went, but it's still that direct line of communication. So Robert, why don't you just share, you know, what is email marketing, and just talk about the importance and talk about what you do with your business.
Well, my business is called emailtooltester.com, which I'm the founder and owner of. And we compare different newsletter tools primarily and try to find the best one for you. And next to that, we also like we want to support you on the whole journey of email marketing and provide tutorials and how-to guides and everything you need to get started in a simple way, not in a very technical lingo, so that even beginners can understand it. That's what we do. And yeah, you've already mentioned that the power of email marketing, because it's very good at generating sales. If you compare it with social media is great if you want to do brand building and get to be known, but email marketing, if you have someone's email address and you send them a specific promotion, you can generate sales much easier than through social media. So it's, I mean, very often people have this negative reaction to email marketing because they think of all the spam they receive and the annoying newsletters. But if you really think about it, there are good emails that you're receiving. People just forget about them. Like there has always, they can probably think of at least few instances when they received a really good sales email for a product that they're interested in, and they directly bought it, and that's why it's so powerful.
Yeah, and I think, how do people actually know? But I mean, I'm sure there's metrics that measure this, but you know, I think the latest number I read is less than 10%. I think 8% of your following on Facebook is going to actually see your post. And when they go to your page, it's not even listed in order. It's Facebook is a business. Instagram is a business. Meta is a business. And they don't want you to leave their page. They don't want you to click on links. So if you're constantly posting a link to buy something, Facebook's not going to keep posting that. They're not going to keep showing that to their users because they don't want their users to leave their platform. So they're not going to keep showing your page. So it's a very difficult thing for small business to just rely on that alone and make it easy for your customers, right? Make it an easy way to sign up. At the bottom of every single page of my website is the newsletter sign up. But then I have a specific link because, you know, I have a lot of followers, I would say, or I wouldn't say followers. I have a lot of customers that come by my flowers that are not exactly tech savvy. There are a lot of retired women and they read my newsletter religiously every single week. And how do I know that? Because they respond back a lot of the times and it'll be from like Nancy sent from my iPad, like, you know, and she'll send back, you know, thanks so much. I'm so excited for the tulips, you know, and she reads the email thinking that I sent it to her. Like she thinks, you know, cause I have her name in the subject line. And so, you know, Nancy, Betty, Jerry, they literally email back every week and they're like, oh, thank you, Liz, for the update. I'm like, yep, you're welcome. And so they really do think I'm sending it to them one-on-one, which is a lovely, very adorable thing. Right. But you know, if I tell people, just go to my website, sign up for the newsletter, you know, that's how you can get flowers. They want an actual link. So I have an actual landing page just for the newsletter, sunnymarymeadow.com/newsletter. Make it as easy as possible. So this week's episode that came out, and again, I don't know what order it's going to come out in, but the March 11th episode, whenever this comes out, this will probably come out sometime in April. But the March 11th episode, I talked about enhancing customer experience. So not just the sales and the point of sales, but the entire, you know, from the moment they hear about your product or your business throughout the whole thing. And how easy is it to sign up for the email newsletter? Because if they get on your website and they can't figure out how to do it, they'll lose interest and move on, right? How long will you keep making it easy?
It's good you mentioned easy because I hope people are not scared of the newsletter tools and everything, because like these opt-out processes that you just click a link and then you will be removed from the emailing list. That is all, if you go for a professional email marketing service, that will all be done by this provider. So you mm-hmm. don't have to take care of it. It's just you set it up, you basically create your list and define the opt-out page and subscribe page and so on. And it will all just run automatically. So you don't have to do anything. That's the nice thing about using such a software.
Yeah, I use MailChimp and I've used that since I started. And why do I use MailChimp? Because I probably Googled email newsletter 4 years ago and that's probably the one that came up. And that's what I ended up using. How many different email lists do you guys talk about on your tool tester?
The different email marketing systems, there must be, I don't know, I think we're probably more than 30. There's okay. So many of them.
Yep.
And we used to really like MailChimp in the past, but they, because also they had a very generous free plan, which they now reduced and reduced and reduced. So
yep,
now
I pay for it now. It's no longer free for me.
And paying for it, it can become quite expensive very quickly, the more subscribers you have to your newsletter. So we've moved away to recommending more tools like MailerLite, which is very similar to MailChimp. It's easier, I find, and it's also a lot cheaper, and they give you up to 1,000 subscribers for free. And I think it's 12,000 emails per month you can send to them. So
okay.
That is pretty generous. All they put into your email is a little banner, like a small button banner that says this email has been sent from MailerLite. But it's not the only service there. If you want to do a bit more advanced things, like in terms of automation workflows, where you send people subscribe to your email list and you send them automatic emails, like one day after sign up, you send email one, then you send another one. Then Brevo is also a good choice. It's the free plan is more limited, but the paid plans, they are also pretty affordable. It's starts at $25 per month and can do a bit more than with MailerLite. But both of these services, they're really good. And I would recommend to everyone, just try out the free plan and see how you like it. See if it's like in technical terms, you understand everything. And then you can, if one is not good for you, then you can just move to the other. And it's a pretty risk-free affair.
Yeah, and I will include all of the information at the bottom of this episode. And we're not done yet. We got other stuff to talk about, but I will include all of the information to find your business and your website for people that are looking to try to find, you know, the best option for them on there. So I would say that when it comes to building a list, you know, we shared the fact that, okay, if you get someone to open an email list, you can never know when you look on someone's social media or when you look on someone's Instagram or Facebook. It's so interesting to me as I've started coaching flower farmers and helping people. You know, there can be people with 80,000 followers on Instagram and they're like, oh, I'm struggling to get sales. You know, how do I, you know, like how am I selling so many flowers with less than 5,000 followers? And you've got, you know, and you assume that followers equal customers. And it's, you know, especially for something like this, where people can waste so much time on social media and call it marketing, right? They're scrolling through Instagram, looking at reels, trying to come up with something creative to mimic. And, oh, well, I'm working, I'm doing something. It's like, no, you just wasted 2 hours on your phone. And who are you marketing it to? Like, do you have local people following you? Or do you have other flower farmers that are interested in your content, but they're not necessarily going to buy your product? And so I think that's the other beauty of it. If you are a local-based product and you need, you know, you can't ship it, you don't have a business that's worldwide, you know, maybe you're a restaurant, maybe you're a food truck, and you just want to keep people updated on where you're going to be, or a small, so we have something in the United States, it's called or at least in Minnesota, the state I live in, it's called a cottage food license. And so you can actually sell food as a baker without having like a real food license to sell, like in a restaurant. You can do it out of your home, as long as you, you know, fulfill certain requirements. Like, you have to be the one selling it. You can't sell it to a store and then they resell it. But, you know, that would be an example. I have a friend, so she does that, and she makes macarons and she sells them once a month, and she makes 2,000 of them once a month. And then, you know, sends out her email, and that's how she does it. It's just selling those out of her home. And why it's so important to have that list, because again, the followers that you might have probably aren't going to be your customers. You know, I think just going so much deeper with your customer engagement. And that's why I try to monitor, you know, if all of a sudden something's down, and my numbers it's hard because people aren't always sitting at their desk in the summertime, right? So people open less emails. They listen to less podcasts in the summer. Well, that's when I have flowers blooming. So I need people to actually open them. So I've kind of tried to figure out, I think I'm going to switch this summer to Sunday nights instead of, you know, Wednesday morning sending out my emails, because people are usually home, they're getting ready for work for the week, and just trying to figure out what your customer looks like. And so, and when they open things, and I can monitor those metrics within MailChimp, that it shows me pretty good, like spikes when people open things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. Now, about social media, I think it's a good way. It can be a very good way to gain newsletter subscribers. Mm-hmm. If you talk about your newsletter mm-hmm. every once in a while on social media too, it can very nicely integrate into your email marketing efforts as well, because mm-hmm. you get the awareness through social media, and then you try to move them to your newsletter, the ones that are potential customers and could be interested in your offering. And then you have your direct connection, where you are not at the mercy of Instagram or Facebook, that they actually show your posts to the audience whenever they, you won't be as much, the problem won't be as much when they change their algorithm again, that you have less visibility on Instagram, as they like to do, because the email, unless you have a deliverability problem when your emails land in spam, which... Mm-hmm. Well, if you do proper email marketing, you won't have that, especially if you're getting replies like you, that mm-hmm. that is perfect when people are actually responding to your emails, mm-hmm. because that's a signal that people really want to have your emails. That's perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this way, I think combining the two channels is the best you can do.
Yep, exactly. And I don't mean to say get rid of Facebook, get rid of Instagram. Of course not. You know, I try to use the social media to be social, right? It's all about letting the customers see, you know, what's going on in the farm. But I try to keep, for the most part, I try to keep the sales on the email. So I try to keep social, add the value, let them learn, you know, what's going on the farm, let them see the behind the scenes, kind of see how much work, you know, some of the flowers that I grow, some of the ranunculus, some of the, you know, the flowers that you really have to just keep a close eye on. And there's a reason that they command such a value, because you put so much time and money into them. And my customers see that, and they can see, oh, that's a lot more work than just planting a seed and picking a zinnia or a sunflower, you know, some of the easier flowers in the summer. They understand why I charge more for the spring flowers, because they see how much work I put into it. And they see that on social media. They see in my stories, checking on it, whatever it might be. And so that's adding value without, you know, really being salesy. But then I say, hey, if you're local and you're going to want some of these, subscribe to my newsletter. Or I do notice a little bit of a spike if I put I can't remember what it's called now, you know, where you have the story on Instagram and then, oh, a note, that's what it's called. You know, and if I put a little like icon of an email and I'll say, check your email, I just sent out something to newsletters. And then they see that. And then because every time they go to send a direct message, that note is up there and it's, you know, front and center.
Taking a quick break from this episode to ask a very, very tiny favor of you. If you're enjoying this podcast, please hit pause and go and give us a 5-star rating. If you feel compelled or inclined to write a review, that would be so appreciated. But honestly, the rating is all we're asking right now. Podcasts get recommended to people based on downloads and keywords and ratings. And if lots of people are listening and rating it high, then the platforms try to find more people that they think will also like it. So it's a really simple and easy thing for you to do, but it really does mean so much to us. So please consider hitting pause, giving it a 5-star rating, and then coming back and finishing this episode. Thank you.
I have a lot of engagement in my stories. It's almost a little bit excessive. I'm just kind of known for how many stories I post on Instagram, but it's intentional. I get of my 5,000 followers, I get about, I think last week it was like almost 1,700. That's the highest I've ever had for people that actually watch my stories. And so I hear from people all the time, like, if I don't post something in my stories for 24 hours, I'll get messages and they'll be like, are you okay? Where are you? You know, what's going on? Because I'm always that first person when they, you know, like that I'm the first story that pops up in their algorithm. And so they see it. And so, you know, again, that's intentional. And then when they see my name up there and then they, you know, they know that I opened my newsletter and then they know to open it like, hey, I just sent one. But I think during the summer months, I'm going to try to send on Sunday nights. We'll see how that goes just so they can know.
But that's very smart announcing that you've just sent an email that not only it shows to people who are not subscribed to your newsletter that there is a newsletter.
Exactly.
And to the ones who are subscribed that they should go and check the email. That's very smart.
And I try to put little nuggets in it sometimes. Like I don't really discount my flowers, my subscriptions. I never discount them because the cost is the cost. And if I could charge less, I would charge less. There's a little bit of a discount if you buy both of them, or if you bought last year, you get like a 72-hour code if you sign up right away. But otherwise I don't, you know, I'm not going to just all of a sudden put them on sale because otherwise people will just wait for them to go on sale. But I will put, you know, an extra, if I have a certain, you know, leftover of something, and I'll just put it in the email. I won't post it on Facebook or anything like that. Just to like have people know and appreciate and thank you for opening the emails.
Yeah, this discounts are a double-edged sword, I guess. There's this coffee shop where I buy my coffee from, and they have conditioned me just to always wait for the discount. I'm not buying anything without getting a discount. So
Exactly. So I try to, instead of offering a discount in price, I try to just add value in another way. I don't know. So if you are just starting out, this will be kind of fun. You know, let's pretend like you're opening a flower farm in Spain. You're starting your flower farm and you're trying to get your email newsletter and you're trying to get a customer base. What would you do to start out? And, you know, you mentioned some of the other ones first, but...
To get people on my newsletter list.
Yes.
I mean, what most people do is that they put just somewhere on the website, they put a subscription field somewhere, subscribe to our newsletter, which usually doesn't work that well because, at least you need to tell people why they should subscribe to your newsletter, what are the advantages. But what really works much better is if you offer them something of value. The marketers call it a lead magnet. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've heard this term before. It can be like an ebook or a checklist. It doesn't have to be like a 20-page long ebook because that takes a lot of time to produce and is probably not worth it for most of us. But something like a checklist, I don't know, for example, I saw you sell flowers to photographers. So you could create that little checklist, how to portray the flowers in your photos in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have some tips for that. Like anything you can, from your experience, you have a specific knowledge that could be valuable to someone else. And then you can create this little PDF checklist, whatever. And when people subscribe to your newsletter, they will receive it in an email. And then they can download it. And then ideally you will send up follow-up emails. Like you could send another email like, how did you like my checklist? Was it useful to you? You will get interesting feedback and useful feedback to either improve your checklist or to hear what people are doing with it, how they are using it. And that way you start a communication with your potential customers, and they will, the fact that you're always appearing in their inbox, they will not forget you. They will always remember you when they need flowers for their next photo shoot, for example. Mm-hmm. They will think, the first thing they will think is you, because you're in their inbox and they have received some emails from you. So I think that, offering something of value, if you can, is a good way. And otherwise, if that's too much work, then put ideally put together a landing page where you at least highlight the advantages of your newsletter, and then tell people about it, share it on social media. Mm-hmm. Just try to, whenever you have an interaction with your customers or with your potential customers, tell them about your newsletter that they can subscribe.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I try to include in there is, for example, when I was advertising that these events that I host on my farm. So I've got, you know, 8 picnic tables and people can come and cut their own flowers. And, you know, it's, you know, Monday nights or Tuesday nights or whatever. And they're the only, you know, it's a private group and there's a minimum people and everyone has to pay. And, you know, there's all these rules, but I let one group come out a week or whatever. And I'm trying to book those now in March because I try to pre-sell as many of my flowers in the summer as I can so that I can enjoy my summer without having to, you know, constantly sell flowers. And so, yeah, so that's, but then I'll put in there, if you are not the person, you know, I can't remember how I worded it better than I'm saying it, but basically I said, forward this to your boss, forward this to your office manager, you know, whoever it is that makes your decisions at your work. And, you know, it's March, they have a budget for, you know, a summer work retreat or whatever. I have a dentist office that they're coming out on a Tuesday morning, the whole office is, and they're just not taking patients that morning. And it's like their team building event for the summer. And so, you know, she's like, yep, I forwarded it to, you know, Dr. Larson and they're coming on out. And so just telling people, and you don't always think about that. Oh, you can forward a newsletter. You can forward that. Like you can send that on to the next person. And so I think that's a pretty natural way of increasing the engagement too, is send this to a friend or, you know, giving them something to do, I think is helpful.
That's a very good approach. Yeah.
The newsletter that I've talked about the whole time here is my MailChimp one for my local flower farm for Sunny Mary Meadow. I also have Sunny Mary Meadow coaching. So it gets a little bit confusing, but we're working through it. You know, again, just training people what that means. Basically, this podcast led to, I would get so many emails asking me questions about the business aspect of things, right? And I would love to answer everyone's emails, but I just don't have time. And, you know, they're asking me things like, you know, very, very specific questions about how I run my business. And so that's why I ended up creating my course, creating the coaching, so that I can help serve those people, because there's just not enough hours in the day to answer all the questions and help them out in the level of depth that they need. And so my coaching business and that website, that one is through Kajabi. And so that's that email platform that I use. And I'll use different, you know, funnels, or, you know, that's how I've built my email list there is, you know, there's one 10 fall cleanup tasks lists or whatever it might be. And then you opt into it and you get an email. And so it's a fine line. I feel like I'm still learning, you know, that's a new business that I started within the last year. I just started that in August. So I'm still gradually building that one up. And I think I'm so proud of how I've built up my farm one that I want it to continue to be organic and natural and not feel too corporate or to, you know, with the coaching piece, I still want it to be me. And so sometimes I'm like, oh, I only have 400 people subscribed to that one. And it's like 400 people is still pretty good. And there's still
good start.
Yeah, exactly. It's okay. And I have the right number of customers, but it's just, it's finding that balance. And so I think just knowing that I'd rather have 400 people and 300 that open it than 4,000 and 200 that open it or none that open it, you know? And so just keeping an eye on the actual metrics, not just the vanity metrics, I think is important.
Yeah. It always sounds a bit abstract, like 400 people. I mean, you have to imagine 400 people. That's it's quite a significant amount of people. If you imagine them in all in one room, for example, and if 300 open your email, like that's a lot of people. So
yeah,
it's very powerful.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how you would get people to sign up to your email right away. And then do you have any insight on what you've found for frequency or, you know, recommendations like that? I mean, how much is too much? How much is, you know, how often should we be sending emails? And I'm assuming it's something along the lines of, well, as long as you're providing value, of course, that's going to be the main piece, right? But, you know, what have you found in there?
So the important thing is that you don't send too little. There's too much, but there's also too little. So for example, if you don't send out something monthly, then people start to forget about you. And then the next time, if you wait for 2, 3, 4 months, and then you send them a newsletter, they may have already forgotten who was this. And then, yeah, they tend to complain more, like this report spam button. It doesn't have to be like this, but the problem is if they forget about you, they will just ignore your messages, unsubscribe, or they will not engage. So I would aim for at least once a month you should send something, and of course something useful of value, so that people actually get something from that email. And if you want to send more, if you have interesting things to say, useful things, not only sales and sales and sales, if you have more to say, then you can also send like a weekly email, for example. You should, because you have stats in your newsletter tool, so you should keep an eye on that, because if you see more and more people unsubscribing because maybe they find they're receiving too many emails from you, then you should decrease your frequency. But that's the nice thing about email marketing, that you can see how many people are opening, how many people are clicking the links in your newsletter, and how many people unsubscribe. It shows also how many email addresses are not valid anymore. So you have a bounce when the email address doesn't work anymore. So you should really have a close look at your statistics. And I mean, if you're getting good engagement, like you, 60% open rate is amazing.
I was looking at it. I haven't looked at it since last summer, sometime in July, but one of my very first customer, seriously, my very first customer, I had her come on the podcast, and it was when I had a little stand at the end of my driveway. And so she came on my podcast to just talk about the evolution of my flower farm, because we used to sell 200 bouquets for the whole summer. And now I sell that every single week. And so we just talked through that. And just out of curiosity on the podcast, I pulled it up. She has opened all but one email. Like, she has like a 99% open rate. And I have two customers with a 100% open rate over the last 3 years. And then there's a lot with like 90% or higher. And then of course it comes down, but it's just kind of funny. You know, those people that they open, and some of them aren't even local customers. So I shouldn't even say they're customers. They're friends of mine from college, and you know, they open every single email. And so it's just fun to see that, right? And to see, okay, who's reading it, who's not. And I mean, it's just the depth of knowledge that you can get from email marketing it's just crazy to see how often, or just, you know, you can see those actual clicks and see how engaged people are.
The great thing is that when you see that they are obviously interested in your coaching, if they click that link, you can send a follow-up email just to that segment of people who actually clicked and showed interest. So you're going to have much more success just targeting it to that small segment rather than sending it to everyone again.
And I think before you're comfortable enough sending emails like this, I mean, you have to have that confidence in your product and what you're offering. I think that's what helps it to me not feel spam. You know, to send an email every single week in the summertime, but I genuinely know that I am providing value. Every single email has the latest podcast episode. There's a free 20 to 50 minute link, you know, to something for free that's going to add value. So I already know that. So then it doesn't feel like spam. And I'm telling them how they can buy the flowers. They signed up wanting to know how to buy the flowers. I'm telling them, because we do different, you know, pop-ups every week, or sometimes we'll go to like breweries or places where people can make their own bouquet. And so I call it the flower cast. So instead of the forecast or the weather forecast, we call it the flower cast. So here's where and when you can get your flowers. And so I think, you know, those self-limiting beliefs that I don't want to bug people, I don't want to spam them, I don't want to feel salesy, or even with my coaching business that I'm still, you know, getting used to doing. And it's, no, these people are asking for help and I'm trying to serve them in a way that I can do that will actually help them rather than just give them some surface level information. They're craving beyond what I can reasonably do for free, right? Which is what is the podcast. I put a lot of time into this. People that sign up for my courses, they're not all women, so I'll just say people in general, but they sign up for it and they're craving something deeper than what I can commit to by just giving it to them. And that's okay. Sales doesn't make you bad, you know? And I think that's something, you know, in the US as women, and we have to just get over this, you know, fear of asking for money and asking for the sale. And so I think that's probably some people's limitation with sending emails is they worry they don't want to sound too salesy, or they don't want to be pushy, or they don't want to send too many, but
they don't want to be that person who spams them. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Cause we've all done it. We've all been annoyed. I mean, Ruggable, where I buy my rugs like every day, you know, and once in a while they'll send a coupon, and that's why I don't even open the emails. But if I know I'm gonna buy, and I only have two of these rugs, it's not like I have 20 of these rugs, but they're these really nice rugs that, have you ever heard of them? No, they should sponsor the podcast, but
probably.
You can peel off the top and you can wash it in your washing machine. Mm. And so it's really nice for someone with a flower farm who gets dirt in their house and you know, you can wash them, but I don't open their emails. But if I'm going to buy a new one or I'm looking, you know, I'll just search Ruggable in my inbox and see if there's a recent coupon in there. And it's like, there's probably a better way to do it, but I know my own patterns and my own, you know, shopping habits. And I don't know why I haven't unsubscribed to that one. And I get an email every day at 7 a.m. My watch, and I know that, like, oh, that's Ruggable. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that annoying person.
Yeah, exactly. But an email every day is pretty intense.
Yeah, that's no, crazy. And I definitely stray away from that. Again, I will put all of your contact information down in there, and, you know, email tool tester kit, and we'll continue, you know, bringing you up in a couple other episodes. And anything else that you want to add, or any other little tidbits for someone that's...
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that we on Email Tool Tester, we have that little ebook that is the Email Marketing Crash Course, which is a free download. It's, I think, 20 pages, more or less. And it just, it's made for beginners. It will tell you everything you need to know how to get started with email marketing. And by signing up, you can also see how we do our automatic emails that follow. And of course, you can unsubscribe at any time if you don't want to read these emails. But I think it's a very good start into email marketing. So you see how it works, what email marketing services are out there, which ones are recommendable. And yeah, just to get a 101 on email marketing.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great point. I know that probably, I would imagine a couple hundred of my email openers are other flower farmers that are just trying to learn. You know, when I talk about how successful, and I don't mean to say that bragging, but it's doing what it's supposed to, right? It's my email list. And so when with my coaching, with the podcast, I talk about email marketing because I believe so heavily in it. I know that, you know, a lot of the people that subscribe are hours and hours away. They're never going to come buy flowers. They don't live close, but they're opening it just to learn, to, you know, get curious. And so, yes, I would imagine subscribing to your email newsletter, if you're trying to look at an example, one to learn who to follow and how to do it, that's probably a good one to do. But I'll put the specific link to the ebook that you can download. I'll put that in the episode notes. And yeah, I think we got chatting, and I think Robert is probably going to come back on the podcast to talk about something else, because I think this was very informative, and hopefully the listeners got a lot out of it.
I'd be happy to return to your podcast. Thanks, Liz.
Well, thank you so much, Robert, and thank you for listening to another episode of the podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sunny Marymeadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and rate us. You can find us on Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook at Sunny Marymeadow. Subscribe to our email newsletter at sunnymarymeadow.com. And if you have questions or comments or anything to say, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@sunnymarymeadow.com.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Marymeadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymiddle.com.